Hey, this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about living in reality. Living in reality. You know, quite some time back we addressed the church calendar, and knew Pastor Brooks' schedule had him away for these past two Sundays, and we knew that. And he asked Pastor Raymond and I to kind of continue the Luke series, if you will, that we've been on since the beginning of the year. I had a kind of idea of where Pastor Raymond and I were going to be, you know. So I asked Pastor Brooks before he left for Houston, I said, "Where am I at, on top of the mountain or down the hill?" And he goes, "You're down the hill." Okay. I want to say it again. Last week, Pastor Raymond did an outstanding job in describing the mountaintop. Amen. Go ahead. The experience of Peter, James, and John. You know what? The mountaintop is a lovely place. And it has a view and experiences that just escapes explanation. But there's a change of atmosphere on the horizon for these disciples. Last week, Pastor Raymond, you talked about how Moses and Elijah were speaking with Jesus. And you put a word up there, it's Exodus. You remember, how many of you remember the word Exodus that he used last week? But see, Peter wants to build three tabernacles. Just think about that for a second. Moses and Elijah is talking with Jesus about his leaving, and Peter is talking with him about staying. You know, and no wonder the word said he didn't know what he was saying. Right? How many is glad this morning that Jesus left us through a cross of Calvary, that you and I can be sitting here this morning and praising his holy name? Amen. Amen. But you know, this week it's back to reality for Peter, James, and John. And you know, to get the complete story of this event that we're going to talk about today, you know, I need to put portions of Mark chapter 9 along with Luke chapter 9 together, so we can get the full amount. The Gospel of Mark, it includes some additional details that Luke just doesn't record for us this morning. So let's look at the scripture real quick, found in Luke this morning, and look at our passage today. Luke chapter 9, verse 37 through 42. If you have your Bibles, or otherwise we'll have it up on the screen. I have the New King James Version because that's what I have. There you are. And so we're reading out of that this morning. Luke 9:37. Now it happened on the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, that a great multitude met him, and suddenly a man from the multitude cried out, saying, "Teacher, I implore you, I beg you, look on my son, for he is my only child. Behold, a spirit seizes him, and suddenly it cries out, it convulses him so that he foams at the mouth, and it departs with him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implored your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." And Jesus answered and said, now how many know Jesus ain't real happy right here? "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to his father. Precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you saw this day before I saw this day. You knew this hour before I knew this hour. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you are here this morning with us. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you take these words this morning and let them be an encouragement, Lord, to our folks, our body of Christ today, Lord, that they would go home, that they would leave this place not the same as they came, but they would leave here renewed, strengthened, and, oh God, loving you even deeply than they came. Lord, I love you this morning. I give you thanks, Lord, for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to stand in your presence. And I give you the glory and the honor that you would bless this word. In Jesus' name we pray. And folks that love us, say amen. Amen. Hey, I got to tell you about an experiment this morning. It was called the Joshua Bell Experiment. He was a one-time child prodigy, and at the age of 39 years old, Joshua Bell has arrived as an internationally acclaimed violinist. And 3 days before, Bell had completely sold out the house at the Boston Symphony Hall where the decent seats went for $100 a piece. For this experiment, he stood in the boarding area and performed at their Metro subway station in Washington, D.C., and I have a picture of him there. That's how they dressed him up with his violin. How many has ever went through and got off of a train, a subway or something, and you see somebody playing a guitar or a violin? That's perfectly what they did with Joshua Bell here. For the next 43 minutes in this subway station, the violinist performs 6 classical pieces from Bach, from Schubert, from Mendelssohn. And during those moments, over 1,000 people passed him by. And most of them were walking their way to work or other scheduled destinations. And only about 20 people slowed down enough to give him some spare change, but all continued to their awaiting transports. And at the end of his time, Joshua Bell, this extremely gifted international violinist, received a whole $32 from a violin case. Oh, by the way, that violin case happened to hold his treasured Stradivarius violin, and that violin is worth $3.5 million. But his case had $32 in it. Think about this. 3 days prior, they sell out the Symphony Hall, but today, in a Washington, D.C. subway station, it's the same musician, the same violin, it's the same music. It's just a change of location and of atmosphere. Would you say it had a totally different outcome, right? Like it or not, many of us have realized in life that life is filled with ups and downs. Mountaintops are wonderful times. But folks, the valley is where the work begins. Valleys are the places of challenge and of change. Valleys are the places where our faith is put to the test. But I want you to know this morning, agricultural crops are never found above the tree line at the rocky elevation peaks. The harvest is the result of hard labor of tilling the soil of the valley. I want you to know valleys have purpose in them just as the mountaintops do. So when Peter, James, John, and Jesus comes down from the mountain after that incredible, unexplainable experience of that transfiguration, Jesus, along with the disciples, they walk right into the middle of a crisis. Would you say back to reality? Keeping it real this morning. I want to start with this one. Luke 9:37. I'm going to read just the first part of that. Now, it happened on the next day. And I got to park it there for a second. Let's put the gear shift back up and park it here for a while. Happened on the next day. Point number one. If you have been journeying with Jesus for over any length of time, you have experienced the next day. You know, it kind of sounds like something like this. You know, Pastor Chuck, I had an exceptional encounter of the presence of God. It was a mountaintop experience, a place I wanted to stay. I wanted to stay in that service. I wanted to stay in that prayer. I wanted to stay at that location. It was a mountaintop experience, but you see, I had a next day. I was basking in his presence, but my car broke down the next day. I was there like no other, but the doctor called the next day. I was so in his presence, but the boss just wasn't happy with me the next day. I was basking in that divine presence, and it seemed like my whole world fell apart the next day. Anybody here besides me ever have a next day? Come on, being honest with you. We're keeping it real this morning. A lot of us have. Might as well say it because we've been it. We've done it. Keeping it real. You know, Cheryl and I have a little joke at our home about me retrieving the mail from the mailbox. When I go to retrieve that mail from that mailbox, I always get excited. And I tell Cheryl, hey, my $10,000 check might be in the mail today. Now, I have no idea who's going to send me a $10,000 check. I have no idea. Oh, my address is 7. No, no, I'm not going to give you an address. just saying. But Cheryl always asked me, she said, babe, was it in the mail today? And it's always a no. But I'll look for it tomorrow. And I believe that that's the key attitude for the valley next day experience. Beloved, the next day valley experience will never deter or defeat us if we understand the fact that it's the same Jesus who was with us on the mountain experience is the same Jesus that's with us in the darkest of valleys. He never changes. It's Christ that changes us. He changes our vision. He changes our thoughts from an outlook of despair to a mindset of hope. And then it goes something like this. Hey, Pastor Chuck, I may not have gotten my healing today, but guess what? Tomorrow's a brand new day. I may not have gotten deliverance today, but guess what? Tomorrow's a brand new day. You know, my world might be turned upside down and may be chaos today, but guess what? Tomorrow's a brand new day. We can have a next day. Body of Christ, never let it be said of Northville Christian that we all came up one prayer short. Never let that be said. The atmosphere, the location may change, but Jesus never does. I'm always all right as long as I can hold to that nail-pierced hand, and I know everything's going to work out okay. You know, Jesus himself experienced this next day contrast. And it happened between Palm Sunday and Good Friday. On Palm Sunday, Jesus is being cheered by the crowds, but on Friday, he's being executed as a criminal. Life just has a way of changing real fast, don't it? Can I get a witness today? It has a way of changing real fast. Hey, let's read on. Luke chapter 9, verse 37, let's start there. Now it happened on the next day when they'd come down from the mountain that a great multitude met him. And suddenly a man from the multitude cried out, saying, Teacher, I implore you, or I beg you, or look on my son, for he is my only child. I want you to hold on to that right there for a second. I'll be back. For he is my only child. I got to pull Mark in at this point, Mark 9:21. So he asked the Father, Jesus asked the Father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. Now I got to go back to Luke. I know I'm going back and forth, guys, but stay with me. Luke 9:39, and behold, a spirit seizes him. The Father begins to describe this to Jesus, and he suddenly cries out, and it convulses him so that he foams at the mouth, and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. But I want to go back to that phrase I told you to hang on to, Luke 9, verse 38. He is my only child. Point number two. The enemy will always attack and reach after the most precious thing in our lives. Can I get a witness on that one? Children in the Bible times were the future of the family, the security of the parents when they were too aged to work any longer. You see, there were no senior living places, no Social Security check, no retirement plans. These benefits of later life in biblical times were all enveloped in the children that were born to the parents. Can you imagine the torturous pain and suffering that this father and this mother had to go through day after day after day of seeing their only child, their most precious gift, afflicted by this evil spirit, and there seemed to be no help in sight? I can't imagine that. How many today know the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour? Make no mistake about it this morning, folks. The enemy is out to devour your purpose, out to devour your vision, out to devour your potential, out to devour your relationship with God. He's out to get your marriage, your family, your children, your security in Christ, your successes, and your blessings in life. He wants to destroy it all. Don't be discouraged. It is in the valleys where the wars of life are waged. But I want you to know it's also in the valleys where the victories are gained. Giants are defeated in the valley. There are green pastures that you will find in the valley. There is fresh water that is flowing in the valley. The dry bones have come back to life because the lily of the valley is there. We are never alone. Very common scripture, Hebrews 13, for he said, I will never leave you or never forsake you. Well, I like this next verse. We say that first verse, but I like this one. So we boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? My situation, my atmosphere may change, but you're not taking my salvation. I may not be happy, but you ain't getting my joy. You might attack me from the left and to the right, but you're not getting my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't happening. It's not in my own power, it's in His power. Why? Because I'm never alone. I'm never alone. You know what? This week, you might, this morning, you might feel like you lost a battle this week. Somehow you failed. You failed God some way or some. You know, boy, I should have knew better than that. I should do better than this. I should be farther along. But I need to tell you, hold your head high. You see, the battle may be lost, but church, the war isn't over with. We may lose a battle here and there, but we haven't lost the war. I've read the end of the scriptures. You know what they say? We win. We win. We win. We win. Yeah. We're going to get bruised. We're going to get beat up. We're going to hurt. We're going to get attacked. We may slip a foot or two. But oh, at the end. At the end, we win. You know, my mind kind of works. What kind of works this way, and the guys on Wednesday night kind of know, Pastor Chuck, that's him. Anyway, but I find it exceptional that an only son, may I say it this way, an only begotten son of Almighty God is about to step in and deliver an only son of his father. I just thought that was unique. Everybody's going, But that reminded me of a similar event in Scripture that involved another only son. Do you remember the story of the widow of Nain? She was on her way to bury her son. She's burying her future. She's burying her security. She's burying the most precious thing that she has. She's on her way to the graveyard of the city. But an only son, the only son of Almighty God, stepped into that situation as well. And when I look at that, I think about it, and I'm thinking death and finality is traveling in one direction, and Jesus, the abundant life giver, is traveling in the other direction. And death and life are on a crash course on the same road outside of the city of Nain. And they meet head on. Guess what happened? Life wins. Life wins. Jesus will bring life once again. You may have a situation this morning that it seems like it's dead. It's over. It's too far gone. Let me be the first to tell you, Jesus always wins. The life giver can breathe life back into that situation. He can resurrect anything because there is nothing impossible with our God. He can do it. Life always wins. Let me read on. Luke chapter 9, verse 40. So I implored your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. And Jesus is not happy, and he answers and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. Let me try and help understand this scene. This father is desperate to help his son. He hears about Jesus who has performed great and mighty miracles. So he packs up his afflicted boy and he heads out. And he finds out where Jesus is and he discovers that Jesus is not available. The other part of my shingle says, gone fishing. But Jesus is up on the mountain. So naturally, you would expect the disciples jump in to help. You know, they laid hands on the boy. They prayed just like all the other times. But this time, nothing happens. The more the disciples try to help, the more frustrated, the more upset this father was becoming. And I can imagine at this point, this dad felt like all hope was gone. You see, we read in Luke chapter 9, verse 38, that one phrase, and he cried out. The word means that he shouted to Jesus. He yelled over the roar of the crowd. He yelled very loudly. Can you see the hopelessness in that cry? Point number three this morning, the greatest test of our faith is when we pray and seek God and it seems like nothing is changing. Anybody ever been there? Right? Many of us today have been praying for a long time for perhaps a salvation of a loved one. Maybe we've been praying a long time for a healing of a family member, or maybe a breakthrough in some situation that has you frustrated and you're tired. Times like this can leave you feeling helpless and defenseless and hopeless. But how many today can you verify this fact that when you're weakest and you feel wore out and you're tired and you're weary, God, I'm crying out to you and nothing is changing. That is the time that the enemy of our souls rushes in and begins his assault on our trust in the faithfulness of Almighty God. Have you ever had that happen? Amen. You ever feel beat down with a situation that happened in your life and have the enemy come in and all of a sudden start talking to you, right? Start beating you down? The enemy encountered Jesus after 40 days in the wilderness that he was hungry. He always attacks us when we're at a weak point, when we feel helpless and beat down. Those of us that have to care for young children or care for a parent that has Alzheimer's or dementia, you know the extremely difficult time that you have just trying to communicate with your loved one. And because of what you face every day, you really get an understanding of how this father in this text must have really felt. He's hopeless. He's vulnerable. And he's always listening in the next room for sounds of distress from his afflicted son. Powerless is exactly what the disciples felt when they were unable to help the possessed boy when Jesus was up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And on the heels of that disappointment, the word tells us that the enemy's onslaught began to happen. Mark 9:14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and the scribes disputing, the scribes arguing, the scribes discounting, the scribes fussing at them, the scribes casting doubt with them. You get the point? The wilderness times, the uninhabited times of God's presence, are never the time to debate or to argue. Amen. They're not times to figure out what caused the problem or to lay blame on somebody else. But it's so vital, people of God, to continue to believe and to seek his face with everything that we have in our being. Wilderness times are not the times to focus on the problem. It's time to focus on the promises of God. It's not time to isolate from God, but it's a time to abide ever so close to him. None of us in this room will ever advance beyond our need to talk to God in prayer. Amen. Just keep praying and don't ever stop. I don't feel like it. Keep praying and don't ever stop. Nothing is happening, Pastor Chuck. Keep praying and don't ever stop. I feel like telling someone in our service today, this ain't part of my notes. We live in four seasons here in Michigan. Spring, summer, winter, fall. Winter times are tough times because we don't see the leaves on the trees. Everything seems to be dead. It's cold. It's weary. It's tough. It takes extra work because we got to dress ourselves for the cold outside. And sometimes when we pray like that, it seems like the heavens are brass and our prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. Can somebody sign up for that one? Right? But I got great news for you. That's just the season. Springtime comes. Summertime comes back. Don't lose heart in the middle of that season of your life. It will pass and life will begin again. I know this weather this year kind of hanging on for a little while. It stayed cold for a little extra time and I'm going, where's spring, right? But springtime came. The leaves begin to pop out of the trees. The flowers begin to bloom again. I got news for you. Life will begin again. Just keep praying and don't ever stop. All right? We good with that? Good? Let's read on. Mark chapter 9, verse 22. I'm going to Mark now. Mark 9, 22, verse 24, 22 through 24. But if you can. I like the way this guy started this up. Hey, man. You're talking to Jesus, and you're saying, but if you can. Really? I don't know if I'd put it that way. All right, okay, just saying. Just saying. But you know what? I'm not gonna shoot the guy for this because can you hear the hopelessness? I've done this 100 times, and I've not gotten any results. No wonder he's saying, if you can, right? No wonder. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And I love the response that Jesus gives him right back. Jesus said to him, if you can. Right? You see that? He says, if you can, but Jesus said, if you can. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child, he recognizes that he's laid open. He's vulnerable. Jesus understands. He cries out and he says with tears, Lord, I believe. But he follows it up. Help my unbelief, what he says. I got to jump back to Luke here, 9:42. And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. And then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and gave him back to his father. Mark goes on and adds these details. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became one as one dead, that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast it out? And Jesus said to them, this kind can only come out by nothing but by prayer. And if you have my version of the Bible, it says, and fasting. By prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Point number four. This is my last point. This same Jesus, the eternal deliverer, is still at work today. Amen. He's still at work today. Church, I want you to be reassured today that Jesus is the expert, the all-time expert in dealing with spiritual problems. In the case of this man, notice he quickly responded, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Anybody here feel like that guy sometimes? You know, I've gotten to the place in my life that you know, I kind of tell God what's going on. You know, I do. God, guess what? I'm not having a good day today. God, I'm really not having a good day today. Let me tell you why I'm not having a good day today. And I have that talk with God. Boy, you know, boy, this should have been better, this should have been that, and I just get it all out and give it to God. You know why? Because God is never going to be a person that's going to look at you and say, wow, I never saw that coming. Am I right? We serve a God that knows all things, right? He's all-knowing. You're never going to look at him and God say, boy, I didn't see that in her or in him. He's never going to say that. God is big enough to handle my gripes, my grumbles, God, I'm not having a good day. And he's not going to be the God that says, okay, I'm going to turn you into a crispy critter. You know, that's it. You're gone, right? God is never going to do that. God is never going to do that. He's big enough to handle that situation. He says, yeah, you're telling me all this like I didn't know. I knew. I kind of feel like this man sometimes in certain situations. I want to believe, and I do believe. But deep in my heart, I have to too say, God, help my unbelief. Don't let doubt creep in here. You know, the words that this man used that day reveals that there's a battle that's going on. This isn't a battle taking a place in the surroundings or his circumstances. This was a battle that was going on in his head, in his mind. How many today know that the battle takes place right up here in your head? You really want to believe, but you find yourself so weary, I'm so beat down, I'm so defeated, I don't understand, I keep asking the same question, God, I don't know why, but all of a sudden, if you're not careful, doubt becomes your daily companion. But if you can draw strength from this account in Scripture, the man confessed his struggles to believe and asked Jesus for help, and Jesus willingly gave him the assistance that he needed. He did not condemn him for saying that phrase, Lord, help my unbelief. But he ran to this man as quick as he could and gave him the assistance that he needed. And I know that he can do the same thing for you and I this morning because he never changes. There was a profound transformation that happened that day for that boy as he was delivered and healed. That day, that boy that could not hear could now hear the words of love from his father. The boy who could not speak was able to speak to his dad and all that were willing to listen. Oh, how precious those sounds must have been after such a long time. The torment was replaced by peace, and joy swallowed up all the anxieties. The crowd was amazed, and they should have been amazed, because the man sought help and could not find it anywhere. You know, in this room, we all like happy endings. Hallmark Channel, I'm just saying, okay. We like happy endings. Okay, I'm just saying. It's all good. You know, we love to see the couple fall in love. We like to see the hero win the victory. We like to see all the bad guys get punished, locked up in jail. But how many in this room know that life does not often feel like an ending like that, right? It doesn't always happen that way. People pass away. Jobs get eliminated. Our old bodies begin to wear out, and the really something that really don't like is bad guys get away with doing wrong, right? They get away with it sometimes. And it doesn't seem fair, and it's not fair. But this is the part that we need to know. We are not at the end of life's story. You see, I believe that when we get to heaven, we'll see every story. And I didn't study there. I said every story. We will finally have a happy ending. All the despair is going to have a happy ending. All the disappointment, all the wrong, all the scars, all the frustrations, all the weariness, all the doubt, it's going to have a happy ending. Why? Because I'm going to forget everything that happened here when I see him face to face. Is anybody going there with me? All right? 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 Amen. It's going to end, and it's going to have a happy ending. What better ending can you have than meeting Jesus face to face, right? That's the best. That's the best. We will see what God was doing in and through all those hard things. All those dark valleys. He takes me through the dark valley. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. My shepherd is with me. Amen. Confusion will finally give way to understanding. Defeat will be swallowed up by victory. And those that put their faith in Jesus Christ will really know him. God, you are faithful. You are faithful. You're faithful. I looked at the situation. I didn't think it would be done. But, oh, God, you're faithful. You've been faithful all the way. I get an understanding now. Now I know what was going on. Well, you know, there's times that we'll have to cry out, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Yeah, we'll do that. Pastor James, would you come, buddy? Let me end this by giving us some kind of life applications and life lessons. Let me give you three of those before we end our time today. The first thing I want you to know and take away with you today, when things seem hopeless, we should run to Jesus because he's the one that is there on the next days. He's always there. Everything is possible for the one who believes. Before you can see God do great things, you have to believe that God can do great things. He's the one who can redeem any situation. Can I say that again? He's the one who can redeem any situation. I believe that. Rather than despair, let's always make sure we turn to Jesus. Rather than give up, let's surrender to his wisdom, his power, and his love. Second application, we should be encouraged to be honest in our praying. I love the fact that this dad was honest enough to say, Lord, I believe, but I also don't believe. You know, we can't receive the help we need from the Lord if we're not going to be honest about the problem. It's okay to say to the Lord, you know, God, I don't really like what's happening right now. And I'm finding it really hard at this moment, you know, to find trust in you. It's okay to say that to him. Please help me. That's what you should say after that. I know you tell me to forgive, and I struggle because I've been hurt so bad by others. But God, only you can help me lay these things aside. Help me to forgive, even as you've forgiven me. See, that's what I'm talking about. God, I'm struggling right now with doubt. I'm struggling with trust. I'm struggling with these things right now. But I'm asking you to help me. And just like this man, help my unbelief. Yeah, Christ will come and help. The last thing, we must always rely on his strength rather than our own. With God's strength, we can make it through the testing times of our faith. We can make it through the winter times of our soul. And it'll carry us into the springtime and the summer once again. Think of it like a power tool that you plug into the wall, a corded one. As long as the tool is plugged in, boy, I can do a lot of things. But if that tool becomes unplugged, even the most skilled of carpenters have a hard time. When we put our trust in our own ability, we unplug from the source of his power. We must always rely on his strength other than our own. Life is going to have many ups and downs. There'll be good days and there's going to be bad days. There'll be times that people cheer for you and there'll be days that you may not be the popular person on their list. It's going to happen. But I got news for you. The only reliable anchor that never changes it through the entire storms, through your circumstances, through your doubts, through your fears, the only person that never changes is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He never changes. And if we remain connected to him, the storms may rage, the days may come, but I'll tell you what, you'll still stand, but you won't stand in your power. We must rely on the strength of Almighty God rather than our own. That's how you'll stand. You'll stand in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.